Mexican drug cartels operate an illicit export business that depends on freeways that run from California and Arizona to Canada. If you drive these freeways, chances are you've passed a car or truck secretly holding a cargo of heroin, meth, or cocaine. This week, we'll take you inside the world of drug trafficking, an illegal business that touches every city, every small town, in every state in the West. In the first part of our series, Border to Border Drugs, correspondent Austin Jenkins introduces us to a smuggling ring that operated from Arizona to Washington State.
On January 21st of 2012, at 8:37 in the evening, federal agents intercepted a phone call.
In the way.
Out of that way.
Hey.
It was between a man named Victor Berrieza Verduzco and one of his associates, a man named Jose. On this wiretapped call, according to the transcript, Victor and Jose discuss a gun with a grenade launcher attached. At one point in the call, Victor says, like the one from the movie Scarface. Assistant U.S. Attorney Vincent Lombardi.
People have seen the movie. You remember the scene at the end where Al Pacino says, you know, say hello to my little friend, and then shoots up, you know, this whole room full of people with an M16 on full auto.
Say hello to my little friend!
You know, that's how they see themselves. You know, they want to live that life.
To my mom!
Now, Victor's attorney says that characterization of her client as a drug kingpin is way off base. But here's what we do know. Victor, also known as Vanilla, was one of three brothers from Mexico implicated in a drug trafficking ring. They were based in Western Washington and smuggled heroin and methamphetamine from Mexico. Lombardi says the case started when a would-be informant walked into an ATF office, that's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and said,
I've been getting guns for this group. I think they're tied to a Mexican drug cartel. I'm in over my head.
Lombardi says the tipster's story checked out, so the feds wired him up and sent him back into the criminal organization. Soon, there was a plan for him to drive a shipment of guns from Western Washington down to Arizona.
It's an arsenal. It's a bunch of assault rifles, AK-47s, AR-15-style assault rifles, a couple handguns, and they want him to run them back to Mexico. And that's when you know, you know, these are some real significant bad guys.
The feds intercepted that shipment, but their case had just begun. They obtained a judge's approval for wiretaps and started listening in on the phone conversations of the key players. Turns out gun smuggling was sort of a side business for them. Their main operation was shipping drugs from Mexico through Arizona to Western Washington.
So it was both guns going south and large amounts of heroin and methamphetamine coming north to this district, and then it would be distributed out to different parts of the United States from here.
The drugs were moved to Washington by car from Arizona in hidden compartments behind the bumpers or dashboards. Lombardi says the couriers were selected so as not to draw the attention of police, ideally non-Hispanic couples.
Because I think they think that's less likely to attract law enforcement attention.
On the calls, Lombardi says the players talked in code. Meth was ventanas, the Spanish word for windows. Heroin was tires. He says the packages of drugs were sometimes called chorizos or churros because of their long, round shape. Once the drugs were delivered to Western Washington, the cash proceeds would return south in the same hidden compartments.
Just like any other business, the profits go back up to the corporation or the organization in this case.
Ann Harkonnen is a special agent with Homeland Security Investigations. She worked the case. She says the cellophane-wrapped stacks of mostly $20 bills were marked with the initials of the people back in Mexico who needed to get paid.
On one occasion, we were able to get $170,000 out of a car that was proceeds, over $200,000 in a storage locker.
Money the feds say was destined for Mexico. If the flow of drugs north feeds America's addiction, the flow of money south funds Mexican drug cartels and their notorious violence. Think headless bodies dumped by the side of the road. The National Drug Threat Assessment says Mexican-based traffickers dominate the drug trade in the U.S. Federal Prosecutor Lombardi says, in his experience, that connection doesn't often reveal itself. But this case was different.
They had direct ties to a Mexican drug cartel.
He points to one phone conversation in particular between the oldest Berryessa Verduzco brother, Christian, who ran operations here, and his father, known as Don Victor, back in Mexico.
And Don Victor says, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't remember the exact quote, "I just met with the big boss, Arturo's brother, Hector." Okay, well, Arturo Beltran Leyva, Hector Beltran Leyva.
As in the Beltran Leyva cartel, known as one of the oldest and bloodiest Mexican crime families. The months of wiretaps culminated in a series of raids in March of 2012 here in Western Washington as well as in Arizona and Utah. The feds seized several kilos of drugs, over $500,000 in cash, and numerous guns. They ultimately indicted 34 people, including Christian and Victor Berryessa Verduzco, their brother Yvonne, and their father, Don Victor, who is now a fugitive. All three brothers have entered into plea deals. Two have been sentenced. Each has retained a private attorney. George Trejo represents the third brother, Yvonne.
I received payment to represent him. I don't know where that payment actually came from.
Trejo says his client was not a key player in the family drug business. His crime, accompanying one of his brothers on a drug run to Utah. In bringing down the Berryessa Verduzco brothers and their associates, the feds say they dismantled a wide-ranging international drug conspiracy. Attorney Trejo calls that puffery and bravado.
They merely dismantled this small cell here in the United States. This is a small cell.
Assistant U.S. Attorney Vincent Lombardi, not surprisingly, takes issue with that characterization.
I mean, I think it was significant. We dismantled this particular, you know, organization or this sub-organization. Now, do they have other ones? Sure. You know, are there other people that will take their place? Sure. But it's significant, I think, for the larger organization.
And certainly, adds Lombardi, for the individuals charged in this case, some of whom will now serve lengthy sentences in a federal prison. I'm Austin Jenkins, reporting.